The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Yeah. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Oh, once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock, rock and Nicole.
Just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rock and Nicole.
What do you think?
Just
I
like
love
that.
It. That was great. Thank you.
All right. Got a little late start on the YouTube, but we're here. Right? We're here. Hey, welcome to a Thursday, or as I like to refer to it as Friday Eve, because we are almost there. Oh, okay. That's not working. All right. We are on YouTube. We are on Facebook, but I think Twitter and Twitch are not working today. But, you know, that's just welcome to my world. I am Nicole Sandler coming to you live. It is the 16th of December, and we are getting close to the end of the year. And Congress is proving they're clueless. I mean, they got some stuff done. So I guess we should be thankful for small favors, right? But I'm reading today about the despicable Joe Manchin and a run-in that he had with a reporter up on Capitol Hill yesterday, Arthur Delaney of HuffPost. And Manchin kind of cursed him out. He said, "It's bullshit. You're bullshit." He called this man bullshit. So I reached out to Arthur Delaney, and though he couldn't join us live now, about a little over an hour ago, an hour and a half ago, he did have a few minutes. So I called him. I actually taped it, and then the phone, gremlins are getting me today. So the video recording I had of me talking to him disappeared, but I do have the audio tape. So I want to share with you that conversation because Arthur Delaney is in a unique position to talk to these members of Congress as they're dealing with the crap that they're dealing with. And when I say crap, I'm talking about Joe Manchin. Yeah. So let me share with you our conversation. It's a quick one. And then, of course, it's Thursday. Howie Klein is here. So as for my conversation with Arthur Delaney, here you go. On the line with us now is Arthur Delaney. He's a senior reporter at HuffPost. And Arthur, you had a little run-in with everybody's favorite Democrat, Joe Manchin, yesterday, didn't you?
I did. I talk to Joe Manchin every week, so we're always running in. But this one was a little more exciting.
Yeah, he used some nice words with you. So what is the deal with Joe Manchin? If you talk to him regularly, is he always just a dick?
No, he's usually pretty affable, but he does get frustrated sometimes because there are tons of reporters always chasing him. but this was very rude. He hadn't asked me not to ask him a question. He hadn't said to me, "I'm not taking questions." And then he kind of slipped out. I don't know if we can say what he said.
You can. Yes, you can.
Yeah, I was just asking him, where are you on the child tax credit? He said, I've always loved the child tax credit. And I said, that doesn't answer the question. Do you want to keep it going the way Democrats have set it up? And he said, I'm done negotiating. I'm not negotiating with you. This is bullshit. You're bullshit. So he called me bullshit. And then kind of stormed off.
Wow. Wow. So I guess, look, if people were after me and everyone's pointing a finger and saying, "What, you're the one holding this up," I guess I'd be a little testy too. But he is the one holding this up. And in fact, it seems like he's wants it both ways on this child tax credit. He says he really likes it. He thinks it's so good, in fact, that he doesn't like that they only want to include it for 1 year in the larger Build Back Better bill. He says, if I read this correctly, he said he wants to extend it for 10 years so that everyone knows the true cost of it.
Yesterday evening, after he called me bullshit, is when he came up with this extended for 10 years thing which is totally new and contrary to what everyone thought he had wanted. The White House put out the framework that resulted in the current setup. The framework came out at the end of October, and it was for a one-year extension, and we all understood this to be the result of Manchin's negotiations. But a couple sources told me Manchin didn't want to do it through 2025, and he wanted to add a work requirement, and there was a compromise to do it only for 1 year, but with no work requirement. They just leave it the way it is right now, you know, paying most families in America $300 a week or a month or more.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was pressed on his position yesterday and then came out with this unexpected do it for 10 years thing, which is, I think a way of having it both ways. He doesn't want to do it for 1 year and then extend it again, which is what Democrats have said they would do. He doesn't really want it for 10 years either, though. Doing that would basically blow up Build Back Better because they don't have enough budget space for 10 years.
Right. So doing it for 10 right. years would bring the cost to about $1 trillion, and he wants the entire package capped at 1.7. Obviously, that won't work. And I'm thinking, well, that's his end game anyway. He doesn't want this bill to pass.
It does seem that way. Now, there are scenarios that you could envision where they change it or change a future tax provision in order to bring that cost down, and they do it for 10 years. But really, this is a weird thing to pull out at this stage in the game. If you didn't like what was in the framework, I mean, he said he didn't like the framework. But he let Democrats believe that the one-year child tax credit thing had been settled. And that's what several senators told me. I mean, it is true that he was putting out statements that he didn't like the budget gimmicks in the bill. And the child tax credit is certainly one of the many examples of something with a budget gimmick. But that he was totally against it still came as a surprise to basically everybody who's been following this, including Democratic members of Congress.
Right. In fact, you've got a piece up this afternoon at HuffPost. Democrats stunned by Joe Manchin's position on child tax credit extension. And you quote Dick Durbin, who's the number two just behind Chuck Schumer in the Senate, saying we're frustrated and disappointed. He actually had more choice words than that, didn't he?
But and Michael Bennett, a Democrat from Colorado, is a big champion of this, had told us that he thought we had a deal.
Wow.
But they apparently, it's not clear if there was just a miscommunication. It's hard to imagine there was, since everyone was saying, yay, we've got the child tax credit just how we want it for only 1 year, but we're happy. And Joe Manchin for months let them go out there and celebrate it. But then it's all come crashing down, and it's a big mess right now. The Democrats had a lunch meeting and came out of it with no clear way forward, so we don't know what's going to happen.
Right. If what I understand is right, Chuck Schumer wouldn't say we're writing it off for the rest of the year, so there's some glimmer of hope, but nobody really expects anything will happen before they break for Christmas.
Right. And no one would expect him to come out and say, well, we're screwed. We're not going to do it this year. But that seems like what's going to happen. And they're also talking about pulling the child tax credit out and doing a standalone separate bill just on that.
Huh.
So that there isn't an interruption for these 36 million households that have been receiving payments. But they would have to get that done, according to the IRS, by the 28th of December. And that seems like a real problem.
Yeah. Well, Chuck Schumer has apparently reportedly threatened that everyone's going to stay there as long as he needs them to. And if they don't get to Build Back Better, he wants to get some of these nominees that have been held up and get some of those through. Is that happening?
Yeah, that's what he said. I don't know what to make of it. I think he says, I'm going to make you work all weekend. I think he makes that threat a lot. And I know the reporters don't take it that seriously. I don't know if it's different because it's Christmas, but that would, I'm inclined to think it's an even less serious threat and that they're going to want to go home next week sometime.
Right. Well, it's next week. They still have, now the House is gone, but the Senate is still there, ostensibly working through. In the House, they would come back if by some miracle they got Build Back Better passed. But that's not looking very likely at this point, is it?
It looks totally unlikely. They wouldn't rule it out, and I think they want it bad and would be willing to make more concessions. That's just my guess, that they would. Because Joe Manchin's still talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of senators say they talk to him every day. He talked to the president every day. The White House, there were some sources out there saying that those talks have been going badly, and it sort of seemed like the White House was trying to put a little pressure on Manchin, and that may have contributed to his losing his temper.
Wow.
But he's still talking to everybody. So something could still happen, and Democrats could move in his direction, or he could move in theirs. But it seems like the former is more likely.
Yeah.
At this point.
I got to ask you this, Arthur Delaney. It's, since you talk to Joe Manchin a lot, they passed the National Defense Authorization Act yesterday, and that's with a price tag of $768 billion for 1 year. If you extrapolated it, if you pulled it out over 10 years, that's more than double per year the entire Build Back Better bill before they cut it in half from $3.5 trillion. Has Joe Manchin asked how this military spending bill is going to be paid for and why they needed an additional, what, $20, $30 billion on top of what Biden asked for, even though we ended the war in Afghanistan this year? Is Manchin concerned about where the money is coming from to pay for this?
No, definitely not. There's just a double standard for this because it helps poor people, and that's true of any social spending bill. Like, they just put it to a much higher standard if it's something that could plausibly make hiring difficult, more difficult for employers because people are getting money. But it's totally fair to compare the two things. I guess one difference is it's a continuation of what the Pentagon budget already is, whereas Build Back Better would be some new stuff, although it would be a continuation of the child tax credit in the case of, and that being one of the most important parts of the bill. But yeah, it's just like, if it's for bombs, it's cool.
Wow.
If it's for people, it's a whole political problem.
Again, this all feeds into my theory that we're living in an opposite world now. Everything that makes sense, you just like flip it to the inverse, and then you have some semblance of reasonableness. Nothing makes sense right now. We are living in an opposite world. So I give you all the credit because you deal with these people every day. And the other Democrats, are they wanting to get out of there, or are they more frustrated with Manchin wanting to get this done?
They are very frustrated. There was the Dick Durbin quote that you read is, he was frustrated. He's like, I'm very frustrated. They all seem pretty frustrated and surprised. And I think they all really want to finish the bill. I don't get the impression they're eager to leave. I think it's Mitch McConnell who would like to wrap things up and not get stuck doing judges. But it's really just Democrats who collectively have to decide what they're going to do.
Right. Okay, one last question for you. Is there any reason to believe that if by some miracle lightning came down and struck Joe Manchin, and all of a sudden he had an epiphany and said, okay, I'm with you. Let's do it. Let's pass this. Let's extend the child tax credit for a year and take it from there, that Kyrsten Sinema wouldn't screw things up?
I don't think that she is a major obstacle at this point, but there are other things going on that are problems. Like, the Senate parliamentarian is not done going through the various provisions to make sure they comply with their budget rules.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still meeting, like, Republicans and Democrats are having these meetings with the parliamentarians to make their arguments for why things should stay. Republicans and Democrats are arguing about different provisions that the parliamentarians should either allow or disallow based on the Senate's budget rules. And then Democrats are also fighting among themselves over the state and local tax deduction.
Oh, right.
And Bernie Sanders is trying to convince them that they should lower the threshold prevent rich people from using this so that there's less of a regressive tax cut for the rich in the bill. And they're just trying to figure out where will they cut it off. Will they cut it off at $500,000 like Bob Menendez wants, or will people earning more than, say, some lower number like $200,000 be cut off? And I'm not sure where how low Sanders wants to put it, but certainly lower than the $500,000 line that Bob Menendez of New Jersey is pushing. And then we have to find out if the House Democrats, who are obsessed with the SALT tax deduction, are going to go along with it, but presumably they would because the Senate is having so much trouble.
Oh boy. Oh well.
It's a big mess.
It is a big mess. What else is new? Welcome to DC. I'm not going to hold my breath and hold out hope that they'll get this done, you know, before the end of the year. Let's just hope they don't totally drop the ball and move on. Okay. Now, really, one last question: are they going to get anything done on voting rights?
They said, so when Build Back Better started collapsing, they're like, we're going to pivot to voting rights. And I just didn't understand how that would work, because they're at the same impasse that they had before, where if they want to do something on voting rights, they need first all 50 Democrats to want to do it.
Yep. And
second, all 50 Democrats to agree to make a rules change.
Right.
I mean, it's really the second problem is the main problem. And I don't see that happening. At this point, I heard that some people were trying to say, let's not talk about the filibuster anymore. Let's just, come up with a new term for what we're trying to do. So it gives me an impression that they're not close to achieving that either.
Wow. Oh, man. Okay. Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Arthur Delaney, thank you so much for jumping on with me. I know I contacted you at the last minute. I really appreciate your flexibility, and I appreciate you being there and asking them the questions. Thank you so much for doing this today.
Anytime. Thank you.
So Arthur Delaney, and I really did. I contacted him. It was like, I don't know, 2:30. And he's like, I can't do it at 5. Can we do it before then? And I had a thing at 3 that I had to tape. So I rushed. I called him and I screwed up the recording. That's why you had no video during the call. But anyway, here we are. He said something in there. They were talking about not calling it the filibuster, but something. You know what? I'm so sick of the semantics and the walking on eggshells and the, you know, the Democrat, I'm glad that the Democrats follow norms and rules. But as someone in the chat room just said, Trump always just ignored the, the parliamentarian or anything else. He wrote his own rules. And I'm not suggesting that the Democrats do that, but there's got to be some kind of happy medium. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be some midway point because between utter sheer disregard of the law and the norms and the traditions of a nation and, you know, following the rules by number. And I don't know what it is. I don't know anything anymore. And that's also disconcerting, right? the other thing that what I was talking to Arthur about was if they don't get to Build Back Better, which it appears they're not going to, because Joe Manchin, I've decided he doesn't want to make this work. What he's trying to do is do the bidding of the Republicans. I don't know who's got what on him. Maybe it's the fortune that he made with his coal empire, and he doesn't want to be taxed, you know, like a mere mortal. You know, I don't know what it is, but he sure seems to be sabotaging the Democrats' agenda. At this point, he's the one holding it up. Now, Arthur said he didn't think Kyrsten Sinema would stand in the way. Yeah, I wouldn't be so sure about that, because the thing is, if they don't, you know, now they're talking about pivoting. I hate that word, but pivoting to voting rights. Well, voting rights should have been at the top of the list to begin with. If it wasn't imperative that we get Build Back Better by the end of the year, it is imperative that we get voting rights taken care of. Because what the Republicans are doing is fixing it so that the Democrats can never win another election. And they do it by lying, cheating, and stealing. That's their MO. That's their game plan. First July, then you cheat, then you steal. Oh, and then you accuse the other guys of doing just what you're doing. It's projection. Or it's the old I'm rubber, you're glue kind of thing. You know, nothing sticks to them. They could do whatever they want. Yet, you know, the hypocrisy, and we even have to point out the hypocrisy anymore, because it's just, it's self-evident. And they know no shame. You cannot shame one of these, and I hate to even call them Republicans. They are. Kirsten Enema, and say, yes, I do. Kirsten Enema. She is. Well, we all need an enema when it comes to her. But she, you know, again, so they're talking about, you know, changing gears and getting the Right to Vote Act, or the Freedom to Vote Act, whatever they're calling it today, and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act passed. Because if they don't do that, and even Joe Biden said something like, there's nothing more important today. Well, I'm glad he finally realized that. I don't know where he was, 6 months ago on this, as the Republicans take more and more liberties with our right to vote. They are doing everything they can to make sure our votes don't count, and to make sure that if we cast our votes and they don't like the outcome, they have somebody in place who can go in and turn it around. It's incredible. So as I scroll through my stuff, and I'm looking for the thing about Miss Enema. That's what I call her, is Miss Enema. Miss Enema, Senator Senema. Okay, here it is. Just when it seemed like Manchin might be softening on the issue around the filibuster, at least maybe getting a carve out to when it comes to voting rights, Miss Enema doubled down. In a statement on Wednesday night, Miss Enema reiterated that she's against any change to Senate rules that, quote, effectively weaken the filibuster. When Republicans, listen, I'm just going to read it. When Republicans eventually take power, her office said, they could replace the Democrats' changes with a nationwide voter ID law, with nationwide restrictions on vote by mail, or other voting restrictions currently passing in some states around the country. Okay, yes, they'll do that regardless. So wouldn't it be better for Democrats to take control now and pass this legislation that would prevent them from doing that, then make them go through the motions of trying to reverse everything? Because they have to do it in the public view, right? If they do it, they're not doing it in the dead of night, in secret. The American people would see what they're doing. But Miss Enema seems just, you know, content to let them have their way, knowing that they are going to eliminate the filibuster, but she doesn't want to be the one to do it, to advantage her party before they get a chance to fuck it up. I don't get it. All right, to the phones. I see Joy is on the line. Hey, Joy.
Hey, sweetheart. I'm sorry to drag this totally off your topic, but I needed to correct something that was said today on the show previous to yours that I moderate.
Okay.
She said three times, at least three times, that you needed three exposures to the virus to get immunity.
Yeah, you know, I hear the tail end of Randy's show because I follow her on Progressive Voices, so I hear her end when I come in. And I heard two things today. I heard that three exposure thing, which doesn't make sense.
Ridiculous.
I heard the recommendation from the CDC today that if you had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in the first place, you need to get an mRNA booster. That's
right.
All I heard.
But no, what she said is you need three exposures.
No, I heard her. Right. That's all
virus.
I heard from the CDC. No, that doesn't make any sense. You don't need exposure
to the
virus.
You need three vaccines.
Right.
And that's misinformation.
Yeah.
She did it over and over again.
Oh, did she?
And that could kill people.
Yeah. Yeah. I also heard, the last call, I guess it was the last call, where she said that she was arguing with a caller who called the insurrectionists domestic terrorists. And I think that's perfectly, that's a perfect description of them. It almost sounded like she was defending them, which I thought was weird.
That was very weird. I don't know. It was like her brain wasn't processing.
I don't know.
But I just wanted to correct that information, because what happens with the vaccine is you get a copy of the spike protein so that your body can recognize a spike protein. And it might actually help fight against the common cold.
Right. Oh, maybe.
Eventually.
Right.
Because it's a coronavirus.
That's right.
And that's why this mRNA vaccine is so important, because it will defend against most coronaviruses.
Yep. I agree with you. And you know, I mentioned this, I think, the other day. I have a dear old friend who is now getting over a bout of COVID. She and her boyfriend both got really sick. And I said to her, well, you're vaccinated, right? She goes, no. It turns out she's like an anti-vaxxer. And I'm
crazy.
I just don't understand it. I know her ex-husband is a crazy Trumper. And I think maybe she's listening to him too much. Or I don't know. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
There's a lot of people up in Marin who are anti-vaxxers, and they're all like liberals. And it's like, what is your problem?
Really?
Science?
You know, look, I remember when Trump was in office and there was talk of him rushing through the vaccine. And at that point, I had a bit of trepidation. I'm like, well, if it comes from him, I don't know that I'll take it right away.
I felt the same way.
Right. But the entire scientific community is behind it. My friend's argument is, I don't trust Big Pharma. Well, I don't trust Big Pharma either, but this is not Big Pharma. This is the world's best scientists, the best scientific minds on the planet have all consulted on this. They're all in on it. So if you think they're all trying to screw you over, then we have much bigger problems than we knew.
Yeah, I totally agree. But it just, I just couldn't understand what she was saying today, because she just... And that's misinformation, and it can hurt people if they think that.
Well, you know, here's the difference between...
And I emailed Sean about it.
Oh, okay. Well, she won't ever correct herself. You know, this is
I know.
Right? She'll, I'm the first one to say, if I get something wrong, please call and tell me or email me I can correct it. I'm the first to admit it when I made aware that I got something wrong, because I don't want to put out bad information. But there are some people who have to always be right and will never admit they're wrong.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense though, to me, because she had never said that before. It was just bizarre.
I don't know.
But I wanted to make sure that people who follow both you and her and come into your chat understood what the distinction is between a virus and a vaccine. And there's a big difference.
All right.
Especially the mRNA one.
Yeah,
but,
no kidding.
You know, I love you, darling.
Thank you. Love you too, Joy. Thank you so much. Hey, I was thinking, let me ask you this. So are you around next week? Because you had called in a few weeks ago and you had mentioned the idea of us, you know, having sort of what did you call it? Not a bitch session, but a session where we can all talk about what's a venting session. Right. So I was thinking we can combine it with Festivus, because Festivus is next week. And that's the traditional day for the airing of the grievances. So,
Becca,
right?
Let's do it.
So I'm thinking now Festivus is always on the 23rd. The 23rd next week is a Thursday, and I don't want to take the time away from Howie. I'm thinking maybe we have the day before Festivus celebration.
Oh, what a great idea.
I come up with a Zoom link that I will put in the chat room, and I'll put out in a few places, and anybody who wants to come in and vent and air their grievances, that's the day to do it. What do you think?
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Okay.
And I think I would really appreciate chatting with you.
Cool.
And everybody else.
Okay.
You know?
So I'm going to put
so many people here. So
yep.
I mean, Yes, let's do it.
All right, so it's in my calendar. Well, it's the 22nd. We're going to do
help moderate if you want.
Okay. If not, I'll just next Wednesday. Out. It's going to be next Wednesday, the 22nd. As long as, or if Howie's not going to be here next week, and I'll find out in a couple of minutes. I'm sure he will be here because I don't think he's going anywhere. So we'll do it on the 22nd instead of the 23rd. But let's make that a date. Okay, everybody, put it in your calendars. I will set up the Zoom. I'll have to figure out how to do the thing with a lot of people. But we'll do that, and we'll have our Festivus Vent session.
That sounds like an incredibly fun thing
okay,
to do.
Okay, cool. All right, it's a date then.
And I will wear a stocking cap.
Okay, sounds good. All right, yes, because everyone's going to be on camera if we do this, right?
Yep.
All righty.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Joy.
All
right. Bye. All right. Yeah, I know the makeup thing. You know, there's a reason that What's News is not on video, because I would have to put on makeup, and I come in here first thing in the morning to do the What's News thing. So anyway, but we'll get all dolled up and everything. We'll have a Festivus for the rest of us. All right. It is that time. Somebody has to mix up those Dirty Debbies today. Whose turn is it? You? Okay, let's go.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole. I hope you don't think I'm picking up the tab.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I always, you know, I expect one of the listeners at least to mix up the batch of Dirty Debbies each week.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. That's their responsibility. I just come for the enjoyment, so to speak. Yeah. So Howie Klein. So I'm reading DownWithTyranny.com, and I see a post from a couple of days ago, a guest post from Danny Goldberg called "Can't We All Get Along?" Now, I agree with everything he says, but I don't think we can all get along. He's saying that in order for us to overcome the challenges put forth by the former guy and these, you know, reality deniers out there, that the left and the center must come together and work together. And I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, I think what he's trying to say is that, you're right. But if you notice, he really pounded the conservatives a lot for not respecting the left.
Yep.
Right.
No, he did, and I appreciate that.
He made a point that the way Biden won and the way we elect and Obama won and the way we elect Democrats is by having all the Democrats get behind them, both, you know, the center of the Democratic Party and the left of the Democratic Party and to some extent the right of the Democratic Party. I don't know how you're going to get the right of the Democratic Party to do anything helpful or useful. But, you know, that I think that was his point.
Yeah.
Now, remember, this isn't – I hope no one is thinking that it's my point. But
no.
But I respect Danny a lot, and he's a very smart guy and a very successful guy. And I think he made some very, very valuable points.
Right. And so people who don't know who Danny Goldberg is, when Danny Goldberg was also in the music business. You were president of Reprise Records. Danny Goldberg ran a big management firm called Gold Mountain. And he represented Bonnie Raitt and just a whole slew of artists. He then...
You're not going to leave out Nirvana.
I'm not going to leave out Nirvana, right? No? And you feel free to supplement the list. I'm drawing a blank. But
when you said that I was the president of Reprise, Danny, for a quite some time, was my boss as the chairman of Warner Brothers Records. So
Reprise
was part of Warner Brothers. He was the chairman of Warner Brothers, and I reported to him.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Danny was has been and still is an important part of my life, and married to Rosemary Carroll. So people may say, well, who's Rosemary Carroll?
The singer from Jackson Browne's Running on Empty, Rosemary Carroll?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Not just that, but you know who Jim Carroll is?
No.
You don't know Jim? Yeah, sure you do.
Jim.
People who die.
Oh, people who, those people who died, yes. And he's related to Rosemary Carroll?
They were married. That's how she has the name Carroll.
Oh, how funny.
And they split up, and then she and Danny got married.
Oh, how interesting. You know, it's so funny because when I saw Jackson Browne a couple of weeks ago, and I remember the first time I ever saw him in concert was the Running on Empty tour. And she stole the show because, can she sing. And during Stay, that's her in that. And I just, she popped into my mind. And I was thinking, I wonder what ever happened to her.
Wait a minute. I'm wrong.
Oh.
No, that's a different Rosemary Carroll.
Okay.
She's not a singer. She's a lawyer.
Oh, okay.
She is a very, very, very high-powered lawyer. She may be Jackson's lawyer, but she didn't sing with Jackson.
All right. Now it's gonna bother me. I'm gonna find out who it is. Rosemary Butler. Her name was Rosemary Butler. All right. So I was wrong. But Rosemary Carroll is Jim Carroll's ex-wife, and she's now married to Danny Goldberg. Well, another
Patti Smith's lawyer for Patti's entire career. I mean, she was Nirvana's lawyer as well.
Huh.
And she's considered to be one of the most powerful attorneys in the music business.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Well, the other thing about Danny Goldberg that a lot of people don't know is I think he left Gold Mountain, the management company, to go be president of Air America Radio. And I got to tell you, he was not loved in that building because Danny didn't come from radio and he had an agenda. And I wasn't at Air America yet when he was there, so I didn't work for him. I came in after he left. But the stories that I heard is people were mad at him because he didn't understand that you need to, yes, you can have a political agenda, but you also need to, your first responsibility running a radio network is to be entertaining. But for him, the political agenda was top. And I guess he didn't gel well with the rest of the staff.
Or with some of the staff.
Some of the staff, right. So yeah. It didn't go well. He didn't stay there very long. And Air America, of course, it was floundering before he got there and after he left.
He got a great job, which is why he left there, as the president of Atlantic Records.
Oh, that's right. That I do remember.
One of the record labels in the world. He also ran Mercury Records for a while. And now he's back to being a manager.
Is he?
And, manages some really, really good artists.
That's funny. Well, his old partner at Gold Mountain is Ron Stone, who I reconnected with not too long ago, who's still kicking around doing
Ron's wonderful.
Yep. Ron's a good guy. He and I, when I was on Air America after the Danny days, he was on with me one night. I was talking about, this is when Napster was a thing, and about music file sharing and all. You know, wow, how time flies. Anyway, here we are now. Yeah, so anyway, so he has a guest post up at downwithtyranny.com, and he makes some good points, although what I was saying at the beginning, I don't think it's realistic because I don't see as you put it, Howie, the Republican wing of the Democratic Party working with, the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party.
Well, okay. The thing is, in the end, a view of all people who have, I think you, have said that, you could fight during the primaries, but you have to come together to elect a Democrat. I can't believe I'm the one who's saying this. You do it, and I don't.
That's right.
I mean, I didn't vote for Obama in 2012. I didn't vote for Biden. I mean, I didn't vote for Hillary. I don't do that. But for the Democrats to win, everybody's got to get together from all wings of the party and vote for the presidential nominee. And I think that's what Danny was trying to say.
I get it, and I do agree with him 100% on that. We have to. We have to. I hold my nose. I still have the industrial strength nose clips, and I do what I have to do to make sure to do my part to keep them out of, you know, fucking up this country more than it already is.
And now maybe more important than ever. I mean, I never buy this. This is the most important election in our lifetimes bullshit. But actually, the one that's coming up, well, maybe.
Without a doubt. And I think it is every time we get there. I think the circumstances are just more dire with each passing year. And certainly since Trump, you know, came into the political scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
There you go. I mean, you know, if it really is a matter of, you know, keeping fascism from, you know, getting a total hold on the White House and the whole country, we've got to do that. You know, I can't see myself voting ever for a blue dog Democrat, no matter what.
Right.
That's just me. I mean, you know, I the Republicans are going to take over Congress. It's a horrific idea.
Well, so why, you know, so Joe Manchin is doing his typical Joe Manchin shit. You know, he keeps putting up obstacle after obstacle, and it seems that they get to a point where they maybe can, you know, make some progress, and he comes out of left field with something else.
There's a reason for that. There really is only one thing that he really objects to, other than anything that hurts, you know, his own coal company. No, there's one thing that he and the Republicans and Kyrsten Sinema all have in common.
Helping
they
people who need help?
Anything that's raised taxes on the rich. That's what a conservative is. The conservatives were invented to be the party of the rich. And they, you know, they can't say it because it's so popular to raise taxes on the rich. So that's not what they're going to, that's not a hill they're going to die on. I mean, it is, but they're not going to say it. So they come up with all these other things, and it doesn't matter what you know, they get him to agree on, because in the end he is not going to vote for raising taxes on the rich. He can't say it aloud, but that's what it's about. Same with Sinema, and same with all the Republicans.
It's just incredible. I think today, with this thing about, oh, well, then you need to put the child tax credit in for 10 years so the public knows the true cost of the program. This is just an obstacle to make sure that they can't bring this bill to the floor for a vote. This is to push it off till next year because it ain't getting done under his watch. And I guess he is King Joe. So, and
Sinema, you know, maybe you want to call her his tail, but, you know, she is determined to, you know, get the spotlight for herself, and she, you know, even if he winds up agreeing to something, she'll put up another obstacle.
Well, right, and here's where it is, because then Joe Biden said, well, you know, there's really nothing more important right now than voting rights. I don't know where he was on this last month or the month before, but okay, you're late to the party, at least you're showing up. But that was all Kyrsten Sinema needed to say, oh, I'm not going to do anything that will weaken the filibuster. And then she issues a statement that says, when Republicans eventually take power, they could replace the Democrats' changes with a nationwide voter ID law, nationwide restrictions on vote by mail, or other voting restrictions currently passing in some states around the country. Oh, they are going to do that, without a doubt. So you're just saying we don't do anything until that time to shore up our defenses, to make it as difficult as possible for them to hijack our electoral process? That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, but, you know, these are not good faith actors we're talking about here.
Right. Ugh. It's so frustrating. I mean, this is that old... And I keep pulling it out, but that old trope, it's Democrats, again, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. But they keep doing it.
Right, if you want to think of them as being Democrats.
Right.
I mean, you know, why do that?
Well, I hear you. And that's, you know, look, they're certainly both presenting as double agents right now. They say they're Democrats, but they're surely acting like the worst of the Republicans.
Yes, they are. They're conservatives, which overrides party on a lot of things. I mean, they vote with the Democrats on a lot of procedural issues, on confirmations. They're pretty good. And they're, you know, they're Democrats. But when it comes to anything that's going to involve taxing the rich, their conservatives come before being a Democrat. And that's where we're at right now with them.
Right. No, I hear you loud and clear. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what the answer is. Can we organize to victory? Is it possible to overcome all of the cheating tools they're putting in place?
No.
So what do we do? You know, years ago, I floated the idea that I just want to find an island somewhere, you know, maybe an island that Survivor has cast off, and build my own, you know, world there. Invite the people we want, have our own government. But I realize we need one that has high mountains on it because the sea level is rising.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
you know, fantasy is not going to do it for us. And I hate to say it because I know people are going to, like, be furious and kick their radios right now.
Uh-oh.
But basically what we have to do is elect, you know, that old phrase, more and better Democrats.
Yep.
And, you know, the and better is extremely important there. It doesn't do any good to elect people like Kyrsten Sinema and to elect people like Joe Manchin. It doesn't count as electing a Democrat. If you want policy outcomes, like Joe Manchin said, if you want progressive policy or he said he used the word liberal.
Yes.
If you want liberal policy outcomes,
elect
more
liberals. I was just looking for that clip. Yes, he absolutely was right. It's the one thing he said that I agree with him on. Democrats need to elect more liberals, without a doubt. So that's a perfect segue to remind people about the Blue America page at downwithtyranny.com, where you have candidates that you personally vet, Howie Klein, and you're pretty tough.
What I was doing when you called just now,
yeah?
I was vetting a candidate.
Okay, who?
Imani Oakley, I think is her name. Imani. She called me, you know, suddenly. I mean, we didn't have an appointment or anything,
uh-huh.
And we hadn't corresponded. And she's running in the Newark area of New Jersey. So she's running against a corrupt, middle-of-the-road Democrat who doesn't do anything for his constituents, a guy named Payne, who inherited the seat from his father, who was also a Payne. And, you know, she's really good. I really liked her a lot. I thought she was great.
Good.
You know, we have a lot, obviously, we have a lot more talking to do.
Uh-huh.
But this was a start.
So what is the process?
And a very abrupt thing. I said, oh, it's Nicole. I got to go.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you. What is the process? When you, how do you find the candidates that Blue America is going to endorse?
Well, in this instance, she called
she
me.
She called you. There you go.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I'll get a recommendation from somebody. Sometimes I just, you know, I always have my eyes open for candidates, and I'll see somebody and I'll start the process on my own. That happens a lot, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it begins. And then, you know, the ultimate thing I'm looking for is to figure out what are they going to be like when they're in Congress. Are they going to have courage? Are they going to have heart? Are they going to be really for justice, or are they going to be a careerist looking out for themselves? Are they really going to fight for their constituents? And, you know, so it doesn't really, to me, do a lot of good to say, you know, how are you on choice?
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, you don't really know, you know, anyone who knows anything about Blue America, no matter how they feel about an issue, they're going to know to say what they want to say. But that isn't really what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is to get to know them. And it takes some time, and I want to look into their hearts and see who they really are. And you know, obviously they've got to be good on all the core issues. If they're not good on the core issues, it's over. If
mm-hmm.
someone says, well, I'm really liberal, but I'm anti-choice, that's the end of the conversation.
Right.
You know, I don't want to waste my time. We're certainly not going to ever endorse somebody who's anti-choice. But the thing is, it's not always just about the issues. I also want to know how strong they're going to be defending choice. I want to know how aggressive they're going to be about choice. I want to know if they have the courage to stand up to Nancy Pelosi, who's screaming and threatening at them over an issue. You know, those are the kind of things I'm looking for, and you can't ask somebody that kind of question. You just have to get to know them.
Right. I hear you. By the way, I found the clip. So here is the one and only time I've agreed with Joe Manchin.
I've never been a liberal in any way, shape, or the form. There's no one has ever thought I was. I've been governor, I've been state secretary of state, I've been state legislature, I've been a U.S. senator, and I have voted pretty consistently all my whole life.
Yeah.
I don't fault any of them who believe that they're much more progressive and much more liberal. God bless them. And all they need to do is we have to elect more, I guess, for them to get theirs. Elect more liberals.
Elect more liberals. There you go. He said it right there. For once, I say, listen to him. I'm sorry?
We made a beautiful meme of that. And I use it sometimes on my blog.
Cool. Howie, a moment ago, you mentioned Nancy Pelosi. And will whoever this possible candidate is have the stuff to stand up to her? What the hell? First, two things. One is she's making noises again about remaining as the speaker or leader in the House. I thought she was going away. And number two, she says, of course we should have the right to trade stocks. It's the free market economy. There's a piece that
the Post. I put up a post about that. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. And because I had mentioned on the show the other day, I saw that Business Insider report about the members of Congress who have openly violated the Stock Act. And I said they should be going. And one of them is Sean Patrick Maloney, who, if I'm not mistaken, is the head of the DCCC, right?
That is right.
Well, how is that allowed to be? And then she's asked about it today, and she says, oh, well, they have the right. It's the free market. That's how we work.
Yep, it was pretty disgusting. And I asked some of the people who Blue America has already endorsed what they thought of it. And that was basically my post of some of our candidates talking about what, I mean, obviously they all opposed it. But that's what it was all about.
Yep. Yeah. It's a post that went up 6 hours ago. Should members of Congress be allowed to trade stocks? Pelosi thinks so. But then again, she's one of these people who, now I don't know what her husband does, and maybe he's the financial genius.
He trades stocks.
And I'm sure not with any information that she is privy to by being a Speaker of the House or a member of Congress.
I'm sure,
because she would never do that. But isn't it interesting that so many of these members of Congress, let's talk about Kyrsten Sinema for a moment. She wasn't born with a silver spoon in her mouth. She didn't grow up wealthy, as far as I know. And when she entered Congress, I don't think she was extremely wealthy. And somehow
she was broke.
She was broke. And now she's riding high, isn't she?
She's a millionaire now.
How does that happen? I thought the salary of a senator is like $170,000 a year or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Huh.
So you think she's taking bribes?
Oh, I would not say that.
I would.
Yeah, she's doing something. She's either using information that she's privy to because of her position and taking advantage of that, insider trading, as it were, or she's taking bribes. All this money that's being contributed to her campaign, I guess some of it is finding its way into her pockets.
I guess so. A lot of them. Since the rules are very, very lax when it comes to members of Congress getting their hands on contributions.
Uh huh.
You know, it's not as bad as Trump, who just outright steals it all. But there are ways to get your hands on that money, especially when you retire. By the way, when you retire, say you retire and you've got $1 million left in your campaign account. You just hire a bunch of family members and pay them that money.
Wow. Wow. And there, so the Stock Act that all these members of Congress have been accused of violating. Wasn't that put in place to stop these practices?
What they do, you know, you're letting Congress self-regulate itself.
Right.
And, you know, they go out of their way to make exceptions or loopholes that let them slide through. They know what they're looking for. They know their own behavior. So they put their own behavior into this legislation so that, you know, it may be illegal for you and I to do insider trading, but it's not for them. They define everything. I mean, look, anyone who doesn't realize that they're taking bribes is an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they define bribery in the legislation that they write about bribery excludes their own behavior. That's what they do. They should, you know, it's absolutely, positively shameful that they who are so untrustworthy should be allowed to write legislation to regulate their own behavior. It's horrifying.
It is horrifying. And have you heard that Nancy Pelosi is planning not to leave but to come back for another term?
Well, I watched her talking about it, and she was kind of vague. What I felt she was doing was putting out a trial balloon, seeing how it would go. She's definitely running this time. She said that. She is running. She's running for Congress again.
Oh, my goodness. And so that means if...
But that doesn't mean she's going to run for leader necessarily, but I would guess she's going to.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, she did give her solemn word, both to the conservatives and to the progressives, that she wouldn't run for another term as speaker. So she would be breaking her word. I suppose she could get them to agree to let her do it, or perhaps she'll lose.
Yep.
Perhaps she'll run and lose.
Yeah, to who?
So.
To who? Hakeem Jeffries?
Well, I mean, he would be considered by the mainstream media to be the front runner.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, I'm doing all I can to encourage Pramila to run.
Ooh. Now, let me ask you this, because that was a question. Could Pramila Jayapal was not born in the U.S., I don't believe, right? So she can't be president.
She can't run for president.
But she can be Speaker of the House because that puts her third in line for the presidency.
Right. Well, I don't know how it would work, but I would assume that they would just skip the third in line.
Ah, I see. Okay. David's here. He's got a question or a comment.
Yeah. How surprised should we be as Democrats when our last three nominees for president have all been corporatists, including a woman who was giving speeches to the very banks that crashed our economy and need most desperately to be regulated before they crash it again. I mean, we are getting exactly what we have asked for and worked for.
Shouldn't be surprised at all. That's what they are. If you're surprised by it, you need to be reading Down with Tyranny every day. I don't mean you, David. I mean people who are listening to us.
Down with Tyranny is one of my go-to reads, Howie. So, yes, I do read it. And honestly, I'm not surprised at all because, again, this is exactly what we have asked for. Three corporatists in a row.
None of whom I voted for.
Right. No, you didn't.
I did vote for Obama in
the first time.
2008.
Right.
But I learned from voting for him in 2008 what you get, and I didn't vote for him in 2012.
Right. And the reason...
Right, since then, who ran for president.
Right. And the reason I did, and again, I don't frame my vote as voting for Obama. In 2012, I voted against Mitt Romney.
Yes.
Right? And that's what I do every time. That's what I've done in every single election. My first election was 1980, and I voted against Ronald Reagan. That's how I vote.
If Mitt Romney was running now against Donald Trump. Those are, you know, for whatever reason, there's no other choice.
If those were the choices, Romney, I'd vote for Mitt Romney. I would vote against Donald Trump.
You voted against Mitt Romney
yes.
by voting for Obama, but you weren't really voting for Obama. You were voting against
Mitt Romney. But if my choices are, if I know that the president at the end of this election is going to either be Donald Trump or Mitt Romney, I'll vote against Donald Trump. I'm not voting for Mitt Romney. I'm voting against Donald Trump.
Well,
it sucks.
Actually, you are voting for Mitt Romney.
But
I know what you're saying,
right,
of course.
Right.
You know, that's my whole theory about lesser of two evils. You're voting for an evil.
Right. I know.
Evil, but you're voting for an evil.
I know. But if
so
those are the two choices.
Him,
I know. He's still evil.
He ran.
I know.
But yes, I mean, Trump is existentially evil.
Yes,
Trump,
he is.
Trump is like the end of America as we know
Trump
it.
Trump is the Antichrist, says the atheist Jew over here. But all during Obama's 8 years, I kept hearing Republicans talking about Obama as the Antichrist, and they would describe the Antichrist as this, you know, My brain is not working today. You know, this charming, bigger, larger than life character it's Donald Trump. He's the fucking Antichrist. Seriously. And if they want to see the rapture happen, he's the guy who'll bring it around for them.
Right. But will they believe it since he already was president once and didn't bring the rapture around?
I don't know. I can't figure out how any of them think about any of this stuff. It seriously, my brain hurts when I try to understand how they arrive at any conclusion they come with.
Do you hope they all die of COVID?
Yes. Every day.
Okay.
I would like to see that happen. You know, I've watched this turn up on some website somewhere, but I've long thought, you know, we need a good plague. If only we could be selective about who gets hit with it.
Well, right? Those of us who get vaccinated don't die, and those who, you know, believe in Trump and don't get vaccinated, they die.
Right. Works for me. The problem is, and now when I see these articles about there are some states and some hospital systems that are floating the idea of, you know, the people who aren't vaccinated get the care of the last. They're the last in line. I say, go for it. I say, you know what, there was something where some insurance wouldn't cover them if they're not vaccinated. Good. Take some personal responsibility. If you don't care enough to ensure that you're going to protect yourself as much as you possibly can and the others around you, then you deserve to get sick. And you do not deserve to get moved to the front of the line because you're sicker than the rest of us.
And it costs over $20,000 on average to treat a COVID patient in the hospital. So that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And, you know, I've made this clear. A friend of mine, an old friend of mine from L.A. who knows better is, you know, I got COVID, she and her boyfriend, and I said, well, you're vaccinated, right? You know, oh, no, I don't trust Big Pharma. But do you not trust the world's best scientific minds? Because they're all in on this. You think it's a scam? Why? What would they possibly want? Why would they want to infect you? I mean, it just the reasoning makes no sense. It's just back ass words.
Is she a Trumpist?
No. But she's so, you know, she's very spiritual. She's apolitical. And and her ex-husband is a Trumper. And I think she's listening to him. It's the only thing I can figure.
Must be.
Yep. There's this family, Howie, that I met during the pandemic. They actually live in Kent, England. And they're sort of like the modern day Von Trapp family singers. They started doing these song parodies. And they're adorable. They have little kids that they range in age. Now they're like 10 to 15, the kids, and there's the parents. And they did one song. I'm trying to find their thing here so I can play it to go out. They did a parody of Hallelujah, the Leonard Cohen song.
Yes.
Instead of Hallelujah, it's Have the New Jab. Like, you know, the jab, because that's what they call vaccines over there. Not vaccinations, not shots, but jabs. So they did this cover of Hallelujah. And I just realized I'm bringing it up on the wrong computer. I'm going to play it for you so you can hear it. It's so good. I actually found this song and I posted it on her Facebook page. And I said, please listen to this, whether you will take it to heart or not. Know that I'm sending it with love, and I have not heard back from her yet. I just don't understand anyone who won't do the responsible thing here.
Yep. I mean, I had a friend over for dinner the other night, first time since the pandemic started, other than me and Roland. friend came over, and he was telling me a similar story. Like, you know, good friends of him and of his will not, you know, just are not only not taking the vaccine, but are going crazy on Facebook, carrying on about the evil of the vaccine,
right.
And the evil, you know, everything.
And your freedoms. Insane. You're giving up your freedoms to allow them to. Oh my God! Stop it. So here, Howie, I know you know the song. This is two little girls.
Love it.
Listen,
I don't really know it. I love it.
Right. It's a great. So listen. Have a listen to this.
I heard the walls were rumors shed that COVID vaccines were unprepared or brewed to really censor and control you. Well, it goes like this: a fourth or fifth of people might have fought for this. The thinking of opposing having new jobs. Have the new job. Have the new job. Have the new job. Have the new job.
That little girl's like 9 years old. Here's the older sister.
Well, the science is strong and they've yielded proof. You won't grow scales or camel's hooves. They duly checked with trials and then approved them. It's biological warfare. They broke all records but still took care. So please do not refuse to have the new jab. Have the new job. Have the new job. Have the new job. Have the new job. Well, maybe we all get misled. We see this poster on WhatsApp thread. They use conspiracy theories just to fool ya. It's not needle pricks to be scared about. The ones who put this nonsense out. Substance and it's a mistake and have the new job. Have the new job. Have the new job. Have the new job. To rule ya. And it's not a trick to get you spayed. It's not some change to our DNA. It's a COVID fighting weapon. Have the new job. 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 But other times we're part of something greater. So remember this ain't just for you. You're just protecting others too. And every breath we save is hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Pretty good, Howie, huh?
It is. I couldn't catch all the words. Could you send that to me on YouTube of it?
Yes, I will send you the YouTube because they have the lyrics on the screen. You're going to love it. I'm telling you, I fell in love with this family. I actually just taped my second interview with them yesterday that I'm going to air over the holidays. They are adorable and they do a great job. These kids are incredible and the parents are very cool too. So I will send you the lyrics are wonderful.
Great.
All right. I will let you go. You're here next week. Next week is the 23rd of December. Just want to make sure we're good to go.
Where am I going?
That's the same place I'm going, right? Nowhere. I'm asking because, you know, the 23rd of December is Festivus, but we're going to have our Festivus celebration here the day before, I think.
Okay.
All right. So I will talk to you next Thursday, but I will send you this video of the Marsh family singing Have the New Jab because it's so good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Howie. I will talk to you next week.
Thanks. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah. To those of you who, I guess, haven't been with us throughout the pandemic, who may not be familiar with the Marsh family, that was great, right? Wasn't that wonderful? So I'll post the whole video because I know my video was all screwy during that because I was messing with things. But I'll post it along with the blog today at NicoleSandler.com/12-16-21. You can look them up on YouTube yourself. They're the Marsh family. And one day next week, over the holidays, I'm going to run the interview that I conducted with them yesterday, and I'm going to play a few of their songs because they won my heart during the pandemic. There were a few silver linings. The Marsh family is one of them. So, yeah, I'm glad I could share that with you. And see, that's the way to talk to people who won't get the new jab, to tell them they need to. So, all right. With that, we're done. One last thing. Again, I'll tell you, if you have still have people on your holiday list that you need to get a gift for, and maybe some of them happen to be animal lovers, you can give them a gift certificate for a pet portrait. All right. I can send them out, you know, the day of Christmas Eve, you'll have it there. You can print it out. You can wrap it up. You can do whatever. And then I will work with them to make their pet immortalized. All right. With that, we're done. I will leave you with the news, and I'll see you tomorrow to stick a fork in this week because 2021 is almost over. Please let 2022 be better. Is that asking too much? Yeah. All right. I'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
We're rapidly approaching the end of the year. But movement on one of the cornerstones of the president's legislative agenda, the Build Back Better package, appears to be on hold, likely until 2022. Biden and the Democrats were hoping to pass it by Christmas, but talks between the president and Senator Joe Manchin have not produced any resolution yet. One of the big issues holding up progress is the child tax credit. The final checks are going out this week, unless Democrats manage to defy the odds and pass the bill. The problem is, the bill provides for 1 year of these child tax credits. Joe Manchin said he wants it extended for the full 10 years so that the public knows the full cost of the program? Seriously? Adding 9 years of the child tax credit would add over $1 trillion to the top line number that Manchin insists must be capped at $1.7 trillion. See where we are? So, Senate Democrats are now scrambling to find a way to pass the voting rights legislation that they say is necessary to protect our democracy, as Republicans continue making changes to election laws in key states that would enable them to control the outcome of future elections. The discussions now seem to be centered on a carve-out of the filibuster on voting rights. But Kyrsten Sinema is once again sounding off about her erroneous belief that the filibuster protects democracy. In a statement on Wednesday night, Sinema reiterated that she's against any change to Senate rules that effectively weaken the filibuster. Her office said that when Republicans eventually take power, they could replace the Democrats' changes with, quote, a nationwide voter ID law, nationwide restrictions on vote by mail, or other voting restrictions currently passing in some states extended nationwide. Well, they'll do that regardless. Makes no sense. In the meantime, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer isn't letting anyone leave just yet. He filed cloture Wednesday night on 22 Biden nominees, saying that the backlog awaiting action in the Senate has grown to 158 because of holds placed by some Republican senators like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley. Seriously. Schumer telling reporters, quote, the Republican obstruction of President Biden's nominees this year has reached a new low. We've had to file cloture on twice as many nominees at this point in the Biden administration than Republicans had to do under President Trump. Adding, quote, Republicans are intentionally throwing sand in the gears of the Senate's confirmation process. Stay tuned. The Senate, meanwhile, on Wednesday did pass the annual defense spending bill. Yeah, they authorized a record $768 billion in funding for the Defense Department for 1 year. The vote was 88 to 11, with seven Democrats and one independent voting against it. Booker, Gillibrand, Markey, Merkley, Padilla, Sanders, Warren, and Wyden, plus three Republicans, Braun, Lee, and Rand Paul. The NDAA passed the House earlier this month, so now it goes to President Biden for his signature. The legislation does include historic changes to the ways in which the military deals with prosecution of sexual assault, moving them outside the chain of command of the personnel involved. It also includes the establishment of an independent commission to review mistakes made during the 20-year war in Afghanistan. But it didn't include several expected provisions, including the repeal of the 2002 authorization for use of military force against Iraq. Unreal. And the House is already out. They're gone and won't come back until January 10th, unless somehow the Senate passes the Build Back Better bill in the next 2 weeks, which is probably unlikely. Moving on. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio confirmed that he forwarded a message to the former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows on January 5th that was revealed in part this week by the House Select Committee investigating the riot on January 6th. The text detailed supposed legal framework that would have enabled former Vice President Mike Pence to overturn the election. Amazing. President Joe Biden toured areas of Kentucky devastated after a series of deadly tornadoes hit, saying the scope and scale of this destruction is almost beyond belief. At least 88 people were killed as more than 30 tornadoes tore through Kentucky and seven other states over the weekend. Biden pledging to do whatever it takes to help the tornado victims. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who was convicted on multiple counts of the murder of George Floyd, pleaded guilty to civil rights charges in George Floyd's death. That means he won't have to face trial in January, but he might add a few more years to his sentence. However, he'll serve the time now in a federal prison instead of state. Chauvin was sentenced to 22 and a half years on state murder and manslaughter charges for the killing of George Floyd. Florida Governor DeSantis is at it again. He announced the Wrongs to Our Kids and Employees Act, the acronym spells out WOKE, to, quote, fight back against woke indoctrination and take on both corporate wokeness and critical race theory. The bill, following the lead of the Texas anti-abortion law, SB 8, allows parents to sue school districts if they teach critical race theory in the classroom. If this law passes, Florida would become the 10th state where legislators have approved anti-critical race theory laws. And finally, medical experts in the U.S. are bracing for a triple threat this winter. The arrival of the Omicron coronavirus variant, the continued onslaught of the Delta variant, and a slow resurgence of the flu. Flu and COVID-19 cases are already rising across the country, and the CDC predicts between 837,000 and 845,000 people will have died by January 8th. Federal health officials say they're ready and that people should be fine if they get vaccinated and boosted. Stay safe, everyone. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com and please click on that donate button.